Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
What's up, nerds? This is Just a Couple of Arslings, the Last Kingdom podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Jessica Toomer.
And I'm Alyssa Fixie. We are writers for Sci-Fi Wire's Fangirls who started recapping The Last Kingdom in season three. So we decided to bring that nerdy, horny energy to Podcastlandia. Jessica, how are you?
What's up, girl? Yeah. I'm good. I'm like so like invigorated, like, or reinvigorated, I guess. We went and saw the Women's World Cup team play
amazing.
In Charlotte.
I'm so jealous. God. Was it incredible? I assume it was incredible.
Was insane. Okay, so we went to Charlotte, North Carolina. They were playing in the Panther Stadium, Bank of America Stadium.
Yeah.
Which it's a pretty giant stadium. Like, the Panthers are like the main team here. And I think the number was 30,000 and something.
Wow. It's
so like 30,000 people were at that game, which is just insane. If you follow like soccer in general, but especially women's soccer, like that's insane, like an insane turnout. So it was really, there was just such good energy. It was hot as hell. I mean, it was like 85 at like 9 o'clock at night.
Classic October weather.
God, seriously, down here. But yeah, it was just amazing. And we actually... So they won. They're so tired. I'm so glad their victory tour is over because they are just like, it has to be exhausting. Like, you play a game and then the next day you're on a plane and then you're practicing and then you play another game the next day. I mean, it's just like, that's been their schedule since like January. So
yikes.
They're tired, but they did amazing. And then we went to like a little cafe, like bakery the next morning before we left, and we ran into Alyssa Nair.
Oh my God, that's so cool.
I freaked. I was like, we didn't know if like we should ask like to get a picture or whatever. Because, you know, like, I don't like to disturb
You don't want to be weird, but, like, you know.
But then I'm also like, when am I ever going to get a chance to, like, get a picture with Alyssa Nair again? So one of my friends who's just not shy about that shit at all was just like, we're just sitting there eating our little, like, croissants, and she just shouts out, she's like, Alyssa! Like, we know her by her first name. And she's like, I knew that would get her attention, because, like, when someone calls your name, you know?
Right.
And so, she was really sweet. Yeah, I know. Like, we're best friends with her. But she was so sweet, and yeah, it was just amazing. It's so... I love everything about that team and what they've done.
They're so inspiring and so talented, and, they must have killed it.
It was so cute to, like, we went out to dinner before and, like, to see the little girls dressed up and in, like, their favorite player's jersey. And, like, I mean, it was just... And then there were grown-ass men out there just, like, wearing shirts and having signs. And, I mean, it was just such a good time. It was... Yeah. People really love this team, and there's good reason too. So
yeah, I mean, they've earned every bit of that devotion, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And I love seeing numbers like that, because everybody's always like, oh, they don't earn as much money because they don't draw the crowds, they don't sell the merchandise. Bullshit. Like,
yeah, that's a lie.
Yeah, no way. I feel like at this point in time, that's an impossible argument to make now.
Oh yeah. And it's like, I cannot explain how like empowering it is to like be in a stadium of like 30,000 people and everyone be chanting like equal pay.
Yeah.
It's insane. So yeah, hopefully, you know, I know they have a fight ahead of them with that, but hopefully people will start coming around, people who make these decisions. I mean, because not to hate on our guys' team, but they're just not at the
same
level.
They're not as good. They're just not.
So they should not be making... That I mean, they shouldn't even be making as much as the women make, but they definitely shouldn't be making
more, like significantly more. Yeah, absolutely not.
Millions more. Yeah, it's insane. So, Alyssa, what about you? What fun thing did you do this weekend?
Well, this weekend for me was a little bit different. I went to go visit my mom who was having surgery, which is, you know, I was really happy to be able to do it. And it went okay in the beginning, but like they ended up sending her home the day of because it went so well. And unfortunately, like she had to go back because she was dealing with a lot of, you know, pain that shouldn't be happening. And so instead of, you know, being able to like stay overnight in a nice room and being, you know, observed by her doctor, we had to go back through the emergency room system, which was hell. And like at one point she's like lying on a gurney in a hallway and I'm like crouched in the hallway trying to stay out of the way. And, you know, we finally got a room and I felt like it was like 1 a.m. at this point. We'd been at the hospital for hours and this is kind of a funny story now, but it was very not funny to me at the moment. So like it's 1 a.m. and my mom hasn't eaten anything like all day because she had surgery and she's like starving. So I like go on this quest to find some vending machines and I get lost. Like it's 1 a.m. Nobody's really around in whatever part of the hospital they finally stuck us at. And I'm like wandering the halls. They all look the same. And I'm like,
oh, my God,
a grown woman carrying a candy bar for my mother and like weeping, trying to find my way back to the room. And this woman who was working maintenance was so kind to me and like helped me find my way. And I'm just like, man, the kindness of strangers like really gets you through.
That's like a Stephen King.
It felt like the beginning of a Stephen King novel. I was like, oh my God, these all look the same. I'm stuck in a labyrinth of hell. And you know, after that first day,
it smells like sanitary. Like
exactly, products. And after that first day, it wasn't as bad because she got to go home and they, you know, gave her pain meds and it was a little bit better for her, especially because she, you know, got to be at home to convalesce. And then we spent most of the weekend watching old seasons of Great British Bake Off. Which, you know,
fuck yes.
There are worse ways to spend your time.
I mean, you need to relax after such a traumatic experience. Right. So what better way than to watch British people?
And I'm such a whiner. Like, it was obviously way more traumatic for my mother, but I'm like, I got lost for a little while. Feel bad for me.
But it's also that feeling like of being helpless. Like when you have someone like a loved one in the hospital and you just don't, all this shit is happening, you just don't know what to do.
Right.
And you have like one thing, you're like, I can get my mom a candy bar. That's what I can do.
And I couldn't even
and then
do
it just
that.
Goes to hell. Yeah. I would have broke down too. I would have made them like get me like a little wheelchair and wheel me back.
Somebody tell me
so
where,
distraught.
Yeah, exactly. It was not great. But yeah, Bake Off was quite pleasant. She hadn't seen the first season with the new hosts. And so.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, it was a good one.
I always say lovely when we're talking about British things. No, but we do need to talk about something that. Okay, so the latest season.
Yeah.
You've been watching.
Obviously.
Okay, this is some shit, you guys, because they have, I'm just going to assume that everyone listening watches.
Right. If you aren't up to date on Great British Bake Off, as in like episode 5, I think we're up to.
Yeah, like turn the volume down.
Right. Skip ahead. Skip ahead a minute or two.
Because we've got to talk about how they did our girl Helena.
Sending home Helena and Michelle in the same episode is insane to me. Because, like, Priya wasn't as good. Rosie wasn't as good. Like, we're at the point where I love everybody in the tent.
Sure,
they're all wonderful.
Yeah.
But, like, sending them home was insane to me. Like, I get Michelle's cake was a little off theme, but it was beautiful.
It was gorgeous. And also, like, I don't understand. Helena won the technical.
Exactly.
And that was the first technical she
ever won. She was a technical.
Why do we even have the technical anymore? Like, this season has made me feel like it's just so, like, superfluous. Like, it's not even, it doesn't even matter.
I know. And, I will say this about this season. I've enjoyed it quite a bit, and everybody's, you know, charming and adorable and lovely. But I feel like the caliber of Baker, with the exception of Steph and David, isn't quite up to snuff as previous seasons.
Agreed. I'm not very impressed with what's been made so far.
Yeah, there hasn't really been a lot of stuff from like, yes, that is a real showstopper, but you know.
Right, like in terms of decoration, but also in terms of like just flavors. Like this last episode, they had to do, it was like the 1920s cake or something. But
was
everyone
it? No,
did like
it was,
a lemon?
I think
or...
it was dessert week this week.
Was okay, it, so then it was
1920s
it was
last week. And
but there was one episode where everyone did like a lemon kind of flavor of something.
Everybody. Like, I'm like, that's so basic. God. Like, yeah, it's so basic.
I can do that.
Right. Right.
And I want to watch a show where I don't think I can accomplish what they accomplish on there. So,
exactly.
Yeah, it's been a little disappointing. And to be honest, like, Helena was
The best.
The one that I was watching for just because she's so interesting and so unique and has the best one-liners.
I know. I'm going to miss her. I followed her on Instagram. I was like, I need some Helena in my life if they're going to make such wrong decisions, but whatever.
I know. Our little goth queen. So
she was amazing.
Yeah, okay. So guys, you can like stop skipping now. We're going to we're going to pivot to
medieval Vikings. Times. Yeah, let's do it.
Where they do not have bake-offs.
Right.
They raid villages on the reg, which is what we kind of we pick up. We're in episode 5 of season 2.
Yeah.
We pick up with a 3-year time jump, which is always a good way to just kind of keep the story going and not have to explain too much shit along the way. So
sure. Well,
I'm all right with it.
Yeah. Like, it's one of those things where they've obviously been, like, living in peace. And, you know, Uhtred's got 2 kids now. Cookham's doing great. They basically just spend their time, like, chilling and hanging out and then, you know, going on the occasional Dane hunting mission. But for the most part, it's been, you know, relatively peaceful. So, and while I'm happy for them that they've gotten to enjoy this breath, but that's not exactly super compelling television. So I totally get why they're like, we'll skip this. You know, everybody's doing great. That's all you need to know.
But I do, you know, feel like we have skipped ahead 3 years, but things still feel very lived in. Like,
yeah.
It feels like even if we didn't see those 3 years on screen, like, the actors have really put in work to make it feel like those 3 years have happened, because there's a lot of, you know, when Uhtred's riding up to the village to kind of deal with these Danes that are still kind of, you know, screwing with Alfred's vision of a united England, Danes raid, as they will do, him and Finan and Sitrick and, you know, all of his, like, posse, he's rolling deep, and everyone's just joking with each other. They are very aware of where each other is. You know, they are, and the strategy, and when Uhtred gives an order, it's followed, no question. I mean, it's just very smooth, like, orderly processions with these raids, and, you know, even when they get back, I mean, there's just, like, a feeling of, like, yeah, we've been here, you guys just, like, skipped over a little bit of time, and I really like that.
Yeah, you know, it felt really organic to have them working together so well as a team, and it didn't feel forced, you know what I mean? You're like, okay, this is a natural progression for these relationships, and I totally bought it.
Yeah, so we get back to Cookham after we've, you know, dealt with the raiding Dane village.
Right.
And we see that Uhtred's got a son.
Yep.
Who looks a little bit older than 3, I want to say.
He's a big 3.
Well, he's a big 3. Maybe he's an early 4.
Well, she had to have like 9 months to be pregnant. So she probably got pregnant like the day Uhtred got back from being a slave. And then,
true
you
that,
know, they had
yeah.
a few months. So that kid's probably like 2.5. But it's
yeah.
like you said, it's a big,
we'll
it's
go
a
with
big
it.
2.5.
He's been really eating that grain.
All right.
But we get back. He's got a son. He's
and
got
a daughter.
Baby girl.
Yeah, super
yeah.
cute.
He's got a hall, which is all he ever wanted was a hall.
I
where
know.
He could just drink with his buds.
Right.
So life was going pretty good.
I know. Honestly, like, this feels weird to say about this show, but this was, like, kind of a cute episode. Like,
oh my God.
You've
it
got,
was. It's
like
a Friends episode.
Yeah. You got, like, Uhtred and his family, which is all really cute. And he and Gisela are so happy, which is cute. And Citric's in love, and it's cute. And Bayaka's in love, and it's also cute. And I'm like, okay,
yeah.
like, this is, you know, as adorable as The Last Kingdom can get.
It really, it felt like a needed kind of release a little bit. Like, we had
yeah.
a few moments to breathe with them. But, of course, you know, that doesn't last long because Ethelwald has come to pay a visit, and he's very proud of himself that he is 10 days sober.
Good for you, buddy.
You know, damn coin or
right.
something. I don't know. he's been going to those AA meetings. But he basically, he comes to Uhtred with an offer. And it's a very strange offer.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly because it starts with, like, the premonitions of, like, a corpse. And it gets even weirder from there.
He said that I should be king of Wessex and that you should be a king, too. And he said that you, Uhtred, will be crowned King of Mercia.
We know that Æthelwald, he still wants to be King of Wessex. You know, that's always going to be his main goal.
Yeah.
And now he's saying, you know, he's crossed over into Daneland by invitation, and he has kind of gotten this prophecy, I guess you would say,
yeah,
from a
dead man,
a dead Viking,
dead Bjorn,
like, yeah, coming back to life and telling him that he'll be King of Wessex and Uhtred will be King of Mercia, which is that's a pivot.
Right.
Yeah. Did not know that that was in the car.
Right. You know, and it's one of those things where, you know, it seems so far-fetched at this point, you know, and, you know, I mean, I don't know. I have a hard time with Æthelwald on his best day. But when he comes up here and is like, hey, talking corpse told me I'm going to be the king, I'm like, all right, buddy, you're seeing what you want to see. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It doesn't feel like a good faith promise from him, you know?
Yeah, and my first thought is, well, you're 10 days sober. I mean, maybe this is just withdrawals. Maybe you're hallucinating, dude. I mean,
right.
Give it maybe a month and right. then see if you're still seeing a corpse and we'll talk. Obviously, like, I take it seriously because if Æthelwald has given up the drink for this, then he's got a plan. And he's not right. a stupid boy, even though he acts like it sometimes.
Right.
So,
but at the same time, though, like, he did go into Daneland where he's not supposed to. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
he went to go see King Æthelred / formerly the artist known as Guthred. but he's not supposed to be there. So that's just another red flag, you know?
Yeah, and I think, you know, shout out to Gisela because she's
the best.
Spots this, like, right away. She's like, do you wish Alfred harm? And he's like, no. I mean, I wish him dead, but I don't want to hurt him.
Right.
And Gisela is not laughing at that joke.
No, she's
not. She knows it's not a good idea to make an enemy of Alfred. And if Uhtred's unhappy, she, you know, offers to, you know, get out of Alfred's service to go up to Ragnar, to go up to her brother up north.
Which is just not a better option than Alfred. It's just not.
It's not. But I appreciate that she's like, look, I can tell that, like, it's starting to kind of peeve you off how Alfred's treating you.
Yeah.
If you want to peace out, like, let's do it the right way and, like, go do what you want to do. I'm happy to do that. But do not, like, let your emotions kind of cloud your judgment and move against Alfred, because that's going to be bad for all of us.
Sure. And, you know, it's one of those things that really shows how well she knows him, you know, like, even mm-hmm. though it's been 3 years and, like, he's grown, he's still Uhtred. And as much as mm-hmm. I love him, he's going to make some bad decisions in haste.
Uhtred's going to Uhtred, y'all.
Uhtred is going to Uhtred. It may be a more mature version than season one, but he's still going to be, you know, who he fundamentally is. And Gisela knows that. And she kind of handles him in a way that I think is it's amusing and also pretty caring. Like, she knows exactly how to come at this for him, you know, like, she knows exactly the kind of things that he needs to hear in a way that will push him to do the right thing and not just cause him to react. You know what I mean? Like, she's, you know, she's offering him options. She's appealing to his better judgment. And that really shows, like, what she respects about him, but also, like, what she's learned in 3 years of being married to him.
Yeah, I think she can see both his strengths and his weaknesses, and mm-hmm. she knows how to manage that in him. Which is a good thing. I mean, she is a needed kind of leveling presence in his life, especially when Alfred rolls up unannounced, as he is wont to do, I suppose. And he brings all the priests with him, which he knows
a lot of priests
would not make Uhtred happy.
Right? Alfred, come on, man. Like, I get it. You're going to be bitter that Uhtred is a pagan until the end of time. But, like, did you need to bring so many priests with you? Like, all of the priests that you had?
What does he think they're going to do?
I don't know.
He has to know by now that just seeing that many priests is just going to piss Uhtred off. It's not going to, I don't know. Like, if you want to convert him to holiness, your best bet is probably Hild.
Right.
I mean, it's not going to be a legion of priests that you bring along on a trip. So
right.
it's a bit weird. And then we see Gisela, like, receiving Alfred in their hall, and he's just, like, just he's so catty.
He's very catty in this episode. Like, he's picking on Ada. He's, like, already talking shit about Uhtred. I'm like, all right, I don't know, you know, what's plaguing you now, but you've had plenty of digestional issues before and haven't been this bitchy, so what gives?
And yeah, I don't know if it's like the IBS has really gotten out of control. I don't know what it is, but he is like so hard to take this episode.
My nephew, Ethelwald, he was, he was seen doing just that. Leaving Wessex, crossing through Mercia from west to east. Are you aware of this?
It's his pettiest episode in a while, I think. And, you know, he's there because he's mad that Uhtred isn't following the Saxon law, which admittedly is fair. Like, you know, yes, if a man is a thief, he probably deserves to be punished, but he also deserves a fair trial. So dealing out his pagan justice was always going to get him in trouble.
Even worse than that, I want to know, like, who is the snitch?
Right.
In this village?
Who's writing letters to Alfred and be like, actually, this is what Uhtred is doing now. So somebody's got a burn book and is passing it on to Alfred, and I need to know who it is.
Yeah, that's my bigger concern than, like, Uhtred not giving a guy who's stolen three times over a trial.
Right.
You know? Like, maybe if he had only stolen once, we'd talk about it.
But three
if he's
times,
stolen three times.
Right.
But yeah, three strikes, you're out.
Who's,
you know?
Who's the narc? I want to know.
So, yeah. And so, obviously, Uhtred is not very pleased that Alfred has come all this way after he's spent all this time kind of raiding or stopping the raids from Danes and protecting Alfred's land and his dream of a unified England to come and kind of like bitch at him about how he handled a thief. It's so petty.
It's very small potatoes compared to like all the work that Uhtred's been doing to keep everybody safe in the 3 years. Very small potatoes.
Yeah. It's very much like this dynamic at this point, you know, in the show, this episode reminds me of on Succession when whatever the kids do, it's not good enough for their dad.
And Alfred is Logan Roy. Alfred is Logan Roy.
That's the medieval version of Logan Roy.
Right. Is Uhtred his number one boy, though? I just don't know.
Uhtred's not Kent. Well, Kendall did kill.
I know.
I just don't know. Uhtred feels like kind of like a composite of all three.
Yeah.
I feel like.
Yeah. He's, you know? Except for Connor. There's no Connor in Uhtred. Thank God. So like Alfred, he is, a, you know, sort of appeased, though, when he sees Uhtred's little makeshift church that he let Hills build.
Shack with a cross on it.
Right. And, you know, I think it's interesting, like we don't see a ton of Hild in this episode, but it really makes an impact when she's there because, you know, she's had 3 years of being a warrior and she's finally, you know, feeling like she's worked through her shit, you know, like after everything that happened to her and the abuse that she suffered. And that's got to, you know, shake your faith in God, even if you're Hild. So she's had her time and done the work and, you know, had the medieval equivalent of therapy and is sort of like ready. Yeah. Therapy for them is just stabbing a lot
Killing.
Of people.
I mean, I could try that therapy out.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so I feel like she's really sort of come out the other side and is ready to be the person that she really wants to be. Like, yes, we love that she's, you know, a warrior queen. That's amazing. But that's not who Hild wants to be. You know, she wants to devote her life to God. She wants to be an abbess. And she's finally ready to do that. And I don't know. I liked that sort of the visual representation of her taking off her armor and putting down her sword and sort of taking up the mantle again was, I don't know, it was very moving to me.
Look, get you a woman who can do both.
Exactly.
She can fight like a Dane, and she can pray like a Saxon nun.
Yeah.
That's all you need in life.
Right. Hild is the best.
Hild should really be like, you know, higher up on the dateable list than she is in Cookham because...
Well, I think she would be. Like, you can tell that everybody is very fond of her, but it's like, you know, she's God's. So
I'd like to say, like, Finan is definitely flirting with her a bit.
Oh, 100%. She is his.
I would not
she
mind
is his,
that.
Yeah, she's the hot nun, you know? Fleabag has the hot priest, and Hild is the hot
nun.
She's
the hot nun. There it is. Oh, the connection to Fleabag. They never stop, those connections.
Never.
So, yeah, so Alfred is you know, in the church praying with Hilda a little bit, and Uhtred is kind of watching this tradesman who comes on the reg, I'm assuming. And
yeah. He brings Eric with him.
He has brought a gift.
Yeah.
Ugh, Eric, it's so good to see Eric and those damn shoulder pads. And he's riding solo this time.
Right.
He's also heard about this corpse Bjorn, and he's received an invitation. So that's where he's headed, and he just wants to make sure it's cool with Uhtred if he passes through.
Right.
How do you say no to Eric? Uhtred doesn't, so
but
he's
probably
like,
should have.
Probably should have. But I mean, that face.
I know. I know.
How do you say no to that face?
You can't. And, you know, he kind of lied to Uhtred. Super lied.
He did. I'm so disappointed.
I know. He said that Siegfried and their fleet of 19 ships was in Francia, but it is not. It is in Bjarnfljot, and it is there to, you know, hook up with Guthrum and raise some hell for Alfred against Alfred.
Yeah. So their plan is to take Bjarnfljot and then ride down, take London, and then obviously go after Uhtred, because Siegfried's still pretty sore about the whole
taking
cutting off
his sword
arm thing.
Yeah.
Although he's found like a really great way to like accessorize it. I mean, did you see that like just sword that's like basically attached?
It's pretty cool. I mean, if you're gonna, you know, lose your hand, you might as well add a sword to your new hardware. So it's pretty hardcore.
I like it. Yeah.
It's one way to handle the difficulties that life throws at you. They're bad dudes. Like, obviously, we love Eric, but yeah, they're bad dudes coming to wreck the peace. So,
yeah, I mean, here's my thing. Eric is a softy at heart, but he's very loyal to his brother.
Who
and
is
his
not.
Brother loves to raid and kill and just destroy things.
Right.
And he's also a Dane. That's how he was raised. This
sure.
is what he was taught to do.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't think necessarily that his number one goal is to kill Uhtred. I think that's more Siegfried, obviously, but
sure.
he's not going to say,
no,
bro, like, we shouldn't do that, you know? So,
yeah.
You can love Eric, but also just don't trust Eric at this point.
Yeah. And I don't think Uhtred really trusts anybody at this point. You know, when he and Alfred are talking over dinner and Otta's, you know, being a bit of a drunk and Alfred's being a bit of a dick about it. And Uhtred, you know, he points out, you know, Athelred is weak. I'm busy, like, picking off the Danes that are trying to, you know, cause hell in his kingdom. And clearly Guthrum / Athelstan is plotting against you because, you know, Eric is back and that doesn't mean good things. And he's correct. Like, he has such a good read on all of these threats that are, you know, sort of starting to crowd around Alfred. And Alfred is still, like, you know, I'm pretty liking this peace thing, and that's kind of how I want to roll, which, you know, is admirable, but now is not the time.
Yeah, I mean, Uhtred has, I thought it was, like, really interesting that the last thing, like, Eric says to him before he rose off is, you know, but you were raised a Dane. Like, I respect you, but you're raised a Dane.
And remember that.
And everything he does, like, you can see that, because this 3-year peace has made, you know, Alfred a little bit like complacent,
mm-hmm.
and he's not worried about the things that he was once worried about. And Uhtred is over here. He just knows like peace does not last long for warriors. And that's what he is. And that's what Alfred isn't. And so when they have that conversation at the dinner table, you know, he says straight up to Alfred, he's like, you are talking about things you don't understand.
Right.
Like, why am I in your service? Why am I here if not to give you this advice? And then you just, like, shut it down because it doesn't flow with your, you know, plan for a peaceful and holy England.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you think you're going to get that England? You know, it's not going to be just through prayer. So it's a little frustrating, and I see why Uhtred kind of is slowly tempted to Ethelwald's, like, you know, treaty, his peace treaty, him wanting to go to Daneland and talk to Bjorn and see what this is all about, because when you're dealing with someone
who
as stubborn
listen.
As Alfred,
exactly.
What are you going to do?
Right. You know, this feels like, you know, I think at this point, like, he doesn't want to completely screw Alfred over. Like, even when he's frustrated by Alfred, he still he still believes in his vision at least a little bit, that he's willing to, you know, do this much work to make it happen. But at the same time, like when Finnan, you know, asks him, how can you serve a man who doesn't see your value? Like, you know that Uhtred thinks about that all the time. You know, he says, of course he does. He'll see it in the long run, whatever. But like, you know that he thinks about that a lot.
Yeah, it's, I mean, and I think that's like, that's just normal. That's mm-hmm. any person would feel that way. It's not him feeling like his ego's not being stroked enough. It's sure. just he puts his life on the line for this vision that Alfred has.
Right.
And yet he feels like he's not given the same respect and care that he's giving to Alfred. And it's like, eventually, when you treat someone that way for so long, you know, the relationship deteriorates. And when you live in medieval times, it can turn into, like, I'm going to usurp you and take your throne. So
right.
you would think Alfred would be a little bit smarter about that.
Well, he's not. And, you know, he's got a lot on his mind because, you know, Athelflaed is ready to be married now. And I think, you
let
know,
the baby bird fly the nest.
Right. And she's got her wedding dress and it's cute. But at the same time, like, he always, whenever he's asked about Æthelred, he's always like, he is a holy man. He serves a purpose. He knows that this is not a great match. Like, he knows that Æthelred is not a good guy. Like, every time we see him, he's like scheming or whatever, or being, you know, having no backbone. And Alfred knows this. Like, Alfred is good at reading people, so he knows that Æthelred is probably not a good man. But at the same time, like, his vision of England is above everything else, and building that bond is all that matters to him. And you know, he's willing to sacrifice Æthelflaed for that, but at the same time, like, he hates it too, you know, but not enough to, like, step in and do something about it. But there's a lot of inner turmoil with Alfred and Æthelflaed getting married.
He does not deserve you.
Did I not say the same?
I hope that Æthelred says the same.
And I just, knowing what happens, I just cannot feel bad for Alfred at all.
No. That's not what I meant. Like, Alfred needs to, you know, do right by his daughter, but, like, jeez. Come on, man.
I feel like that's like the like ongoing sentiment with Alfred is just like, jeez, come on.
Yeah, it's hard.
So yeah, we get into Wessex.
Everybody's in town for the wedding.
Ready to be married.
Everybody's talking about what a piece of shit he is. Literally.
Literally. And so they... Alfred and Gisela write up, and he decides, he speaks with Æthelwold, and he kind of decides, like, I'm going to go see what the hell's happening over here. Like, I've just, too many people have been invited to this, you know, seance or whatever the fuck it is. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go see what's happening.
But before that,
I love that Gisela tries to right. talk some sense into him. And then also our sweet little Gisela tries to, like, you know, campaign for Citric, who wants to get married to a lady of the night. Trying to, like, think of a nice way of saying it.
Right.
She has a certain profession, and Uhtred isn't, like, very respectful of her.
No, and he thinks that, you know, he's like, man, you paid her to tell you these things. Like, she's not in love with you. That's just her job, you know? But,
sure.
But Citric believes it's real, and he's allowed to believe it's real and shoot his shot. And, you know, Uhtred finally gives his permission, and it's really funny and cute. And he says he's going to name his son Uhtred, and Uhtred says, fuck you, you're not. And
Citric's like, yeah, no, I'm not.
Okay, bye. Yeah. So yeah, that's,
I love,
like,
Citric.
I know, Citric is so great. So that's like one
he's
nice.
He's so pure.
He's very pure. And it's, you know, it's one of those things that it's a nice moment. And then, you know, Uhtred goes to hang out with Bianca, and Bianca's like, oh my God, I'm obsessed with her sister. I'm in love with her, blah, blah, blah. But I'm not in love with her because I'm a priest and it's terrible. And I wish I was dead. And Uhtred is just like, dude, just do it. Like, get married. You're obviously in love with her. It was a little creepy telling him to bang it out with his sister, but whatever.
Yeah, a little weird.
A little weird.
I mean, I get the sentiment, like, yeah, you know, if you really love her, tell her how you feel, but
right.
the whole and then bed her
I'm
part.
Like,
I think we could have left that out.
That could have been unsaid, Uhtred. You didn't have to make it a little creepy. But
yeah.
He goes, he tells her, she loves him too. It's all very cute. Again, all very cute this episode.
Such a cute episode.
Such a cute.
Until we get to Daneland.
Little less cute when there's pagan rituals to raise the dead. Little less cute.
And you know, it's October. We're in the month of Halloween and spooky shit. So I appreciate a good raising of the dead.
Yep. It's spooky season. I'm here for it.
But this one was pretty gory, and
yeah,
so
a lot of blood,
lots of blood, some harp strings in there. It was a weird one. So we get to this little village where Heston is kind of just camped out, and he welcomes Uhtred, and he's, you know, just, they kind of shoot the shit for a bit, and then this old man walks in, and I guess he's the conduit for Bjorn, and
yeah, he's
been keeping him up at night.
Elaf the Scald. So, yeah.
Right.
He's their
Scald
magician, or whatever the Scald equivalent is.
Some kind of like,
almost like a shaman?
Yeah, like when people convene with the dead.
Necromancer.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So, basically, that's what he is, and he's kind of relaying these messages that he gets from Bjorn, and he takes Uhtred to a Christian graveyard, of all things.
Yeah.
And this thief that they've been hanging in the hall, they bring him down. He's going to be the sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
They have to shove a harpsichord into his mouth.
Yeah.
As like a tether to the beyond.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have to slit his throat. And
that's a lot of blood.
Sad. It's him begging for his life. They really give him time to beg for his life. And so it's pretty, like, I don't know, it's traumatizing
dark
for those that are there.
Right. It's a lot. There's a heavy price to pay to raise the dead, I guess.
London streets are red. Saxon blood. You are to be king. King of Mercia. King of Saxon and Dane.
So
so they have to coat the grave with blood.
And then he comes crawling out.
This old man comes crawling out of the grave.
Right. And he's like, hey, Uhtred, you're going to be the king of kings. Basically, you're Jesus of England. So. So, like,
and
yeah.
Who doesn't want to hear that?
Right. So, like, throw off Alfred, take what's yours, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, it's all a lot of sort of dark pageantry. And, but we find out, like, it's all a bunch of bullshit. Like,
it's a lie.
Like, Citric is, you know, keeping an eye on things. And the guy starts, like, crawling out of the ground again as soon as everybody leaves. Like, it's all a ruse. We don't quite know why they're doing this yet, except to, like, sow discord between Uhtred and Alfred. But yeah, it's all bullshit, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way, just from watching that guy dig himself out of that grave, he was not more than, like, a few inches under the dirt.
No.
So, it's just, there's a lot that it's like, watching it, you can obviously be like, I guess if you're there and you're in that time and you already have some of these beliefs, then it's a little bit harder to kind of say no and argue against.
Right.
And so you see Uhtred kind of struggling with it because they have this discussion when they get back to the hall. He asks Finnan and the rest of the group, like, what did you think? Is this real? And, you know, everyone says yes.
You kind of see what you want to see, you know, like.
Yeah, you do.
So, yeah, that especially explains why Athelwold believes that it's true, because, like, obviously he wants some supernatural being to crawl out of the ground and tell him that, yes, he is justified in being pissed off that Alfred took his kingdom. But, you know, it's a lot. And it really, like, them leaving instead of sticking around for, like, the wedding festivities made Alfred really suspicious. And just the whole thing just starts to, you know, fracture that relationship that had 3 years to build again. And it's a mess. Everything is, you know, heading towards being a mess again.
Yeah. So I don't know. I assume everyone's a little bit restless, and it's causing them to do some very out of character things.
Yeah.
I feel like it's out of character for Uhtred to do something so reckless as to, like, disobey a direct order when he's left his wife in Wessex under kind of Alfred's thumb. His children, I'm assuming, are back in Cookham. I mean, he's got things he could lose now,
right,
which he didn't before. And so it seems a little out of character for him to do that. And then for him to watch this and, like, you know, actually start to believe it. So, like, Uhtred has never been, even as a Dane, he's never been super respectful of, like, the customs and traditions and beliefs.
Yeah.
And he's, like, he's very much a man that kind of goes by his own sword and doesn't put a lot of stock into religion. And so, yeah, it's a strange episode, like, the way it ends. It's very, like, you just sense that something's going to happen, like, something's coming.
Yeah. It's kind of like you're holding your breath until the end, and instead of, like, you know, something big happening, it's just like, nope, you're going to wait until the next episode. Keep holding that breath. So, yeah.
We gave you a little bit of cuteness, right. And now we're going to fuck things up again.
It's going to be bad. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
So it's time for our next episode, Wishes. This is when we issue our demands for upcoming episodes, like the spoiled toddlers that we are. Here's what we want to see, when we want to see it, and why we won't be denied. Alyssa, what do you want to see next episode?
You know, I'm pretty ready for Uhtred to stop even entertaining the idea of listening to Athelwald. Like, the man's a snake, and Uhtred should know better by now. You know, like, listen to Gisela, listen to your wife. She's very wise, and she knows what she's talking about, you know?
And, 100%.
Yeah. And, you know, 3 years obviously wasn't enough peacetime for Alfred to really start to trust Uhtred, because he's immediately suspicious of his intentions, even though he hasn't ever really given him a reason to be so. So, you know, yeah, going to Daneland to see a dead man is pretty shady. But I feel like Uhtred's, you know, kind of earned the benefit of the doubt by now, right?
He's never going to earn that with Alfred, I don't think. I think there's just such... They're so different in so many ways, and then so similar, and it's like they're always going to be each other's throats. But I'm ready to see, like, okay, so we know we've been given 3 years of peace, and that's been lovely. I'm ready to see Uhtred kind of take the next step in his plan to take back Bebbanburg, because you've been chilling out in Cookham for 3 years, you know, just living the life. Totally get it. You wanted some time, like downtime,
rest. Yeah.
But where are we going from here? Okay, so we're listening to these visions from a dead man about being king of Mercia or king of all kings. You've never stated that that's what you wanted. You've always wanted to go home to Bebbanburg.
Right.
You could go home to Bebbanburg because it's way up north and Alfred doesn't have as much pull up there. And your sister or your wife is the sister to the king up there and your brother's up there. So it's like there's a lot of reason to go north.
Right.
Like, why haven't we?
Yeah, you know, this episode almost feels a bit like a soft reset of the show. You know, like, he's gotten his revenge on Kjartan. He's got his land. He's got his woman. What now? You know, and so, what now? You know? He's got to make a choice.
Yeah, I mean, maybe in the 3 years that he's spent kind of doing Alfred's dirty work, he's realized, I want more than just my ancestral seat. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but... You know, if that's the case, like, I really want to see him say that and see him pursue that. Like, I don't want it to just be thrust on him in the form of, like, a vision from a dead man. You know, like, I want to see him take a little bit more initiative and decide what he wants for his future. And maybe just tell Alfred to fuck off.
Exactly.
Someone needs to.
The Last Kingdom has a massive cast of interesting characters, and nearly everyone gets their time to shine. Our arsling of the episode is the character who truly goes above and beyond to win the war or simply win our hearts. Jessica, who is your arsling this episode?
Okay, so I am cheering on Finnan's snarky self this
episode. Amen, amen.
I mean, every damn episode, to be honest. He's a cocky Irish bastard, but he tells it like it is, and I like that. And, you know, whether he's, like, ribbing Alfred for, you know, needing a priest for every day of the week, or, you know, correctly marking Ethelred as a turd shot out of a giant's arse, like...
Perfect.
It's just... Every line he has is just so satisfying and so hilarious, and this man has got to be, like, your number one choice when it comes to medieval dudes we want to have a beer with.
Yeah.
How could he not be?
How could he not? It'd be such a great time. It would be the best time. Yeah. 100% agree. I'm going with Gisela this episode. You know, their life in Cookham is pretty great, and their kids are cute, and they've got a haul. But Gisela still has a bit of an edge, you know? Like, she's got a cutting remark every time someone questions Uhtred. She's like, such a ride or die. But at the same time, I also really love that she's not, like, blindly following him. You know, like, she's not too meek to call Uhtred out on his shit as well. Like, she knows what's right. She knows what's wise. And she's going to tell you to get over yourself, even if you're her babely husband, you know?
Like, babely husband.
Like, she is her own woman and she knows her own mind. And I have no choice but to stand.
Look, when she gives Uhtred a talking to about Sitrick's woman and tells him to treat her with respect, and then compares the situation to Æthelflæd and kind of gives Uhtred
so
this,
good.
Like, this, you know, education on how unfair the patriarchy is.
It's, like, ninth century feminism.
It.
Yes.
It really is. Like, give me a t-shirt with Gisela's name on it and I will wear it to the next women's march.
Yes. Perfect. It's so good. Yeah. Yep. She's my favorite this week. I love her.
Get ready to shame none the worst character of the episode with us. It doesn't matter if you're Saxon or Dane, anyone can be a turd, and we're calling out the biggest one of the episode. So, Alyssa, who were you just, like, hating on this episode?
Listen, he wasn't on screen for very long, but every time I saw Æthelred, I was just, like, I was just annoyed, you know? Like, this guy is weak, as evidenced by the Danes running wild in his land, and Uhtred's having to, like, do all the dirty work and deal with it. And but he's also a schemer, you know, like, you can tell from his, you know, his whole we are positioned perfectly conversation with Aldhelm. Like, this is a guy who's playing a very self-focused long game, and I don't trust him. So plus, if everyone around you says you're a dickhead, you're probably a dickhead. So
100%.
Like, Alfred needs to quit strategizing for 1 second and realize that he's obviously not good enough for the angel that is Æthelflæd. So he is my turd this week episode, not week,
yeah,
episode. For life. Episode. Turd for life.
Yeah, let's not, like, just contain it to, like, one episode or 1 week. It's for the entire show because
yeah.
He is terrible and he does not deserve Æthelflæd.
He doesn't.
And you know what? If Finnan is calling you a dick, then you're a dick.
You're a dick because Finnan knows.
Finnan knows. So I'm going to say Alfred is my turd of the week. Only
Fair.
Because he was, or turd of the episode. He's just so unbearable this episode.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's obviously in a fucking mood. He has no reason to be. You know, things are going well. England is beginning to kind of take shape. Uhtred's out here doing his dirty work while he kind of spouts off about, you know, having peace without the sword one day. I mean, there's just nothing for him to be so upset about. And yet he has this, like, giant stick up his ass the whole episode. So, and also, I'm not here for the pettiness. Like, don't come into my hall and tell me that you don't like how I decorated. Okay.
Get out. Yeah.
Get out of here, bro. Yeah. No, don't like that. So you gotta go, Alfred.
That's fair. You don't criticize somebody else's home decor. That's just rude.
Look, everyone's taste is, like, it's their own taste.
Right.
Don't come in here telling me any more crosses.
Exactly. Sorry, there's not a giant crucifix everywhere you look, Alfred. It's just
yeah,
not.
Yeah, maybe I think that's tacky, Alfred. And it doesn't go with the theme. There's a theme.
Right, right. Exactly. Now, this is clearly a very serious podcast about a very serious show, but sometimes it's nice to indulge in a little thirst. It's 2019, the world is on fire, and honestly, we deserve this. So this is our time to celebrate the thirstiest moments that really blew our skirts up this episode. Jessica, how is this one for you?
Look, there were a couple of moments this episode that really, it gave me some thunder down under. First we see, like, the return of Eric, always, like, a good sign that things are going to get a little thirsty.
Right.
Those damn shoulder pads.
I don't know why those shoulder pads work so much for you, but it's, like, a thing, and I respect it, even if I don't understand it.
It's weird, I'll admit it, but I would do some pretty terrible things if he promised to, like, wear those to bed. Mm. Like, they're just, there's something about them. And, you know, I have to admit, it was nice to see Uhtred bathing again.
Yep.
And I think maybe it's like there's this constant like film of dirt on all of the characters on this show.
Yeah.
So to see him like taking some care when it comes to his body, I just found it like really comforting and oddly erotic to see Uhtred like washing his pit. And, you know, I just say onto the cuticles, my friend. Let's scrub up those nails.
Right. Yeah. You know, cleanliness for everybody. I definitely agree there. And, you know, listen, like Alexander Draymond clearly works out a lot. And the Last Kingdom wants us to remember that. You know, did we need to see him striding around his hall shirtless? No, not really. Was it a gift from Netflix to remind us that the man has a perfect six pack and Adonis belt? Absolutely. 100%. Thank you. Thank you, Netflix. So, yeah, I appreciated that. And second place goes to Finnan mocking the priest because, you know, we love a sarcastic asshole with a heart of gold around here.
Oh, my God. And the hair.
And the hair.
We didn't mention the hair, but Uhtred has a different hairstyle.
It's clearly grown out. The middle part is gone. Thank God.
Thank God. Praise him.
Right. Yes. The best part of the 3-year time jump is Uhtred's new hair. So
and also Finnan. Finnan shaved his head and it's doing things for
me. Yeah, I
like
it.
A rough and tumbleness about him with that shaved head and the full beard. So
it's a tough look and I like it.
I think it's safe to say that we have never been accused of being unenthusiastic in our fandom. We annoy our friends, our family, and now you, our devoted listeners. Welcome to Geek Out, where we will recommend some humble suggestions about what we think you should be watching and reading. So, Alyssa, what are you geeking out about this week?
This episode, I'm geeking out about the teaser for Highlander Season 5, or Outlander. Oh, my God, Highlander, no.
Oh, my God, Highlander, I got excited.
I'd watch a show. Outlander Season 5 that came out of New York Comic Con this weekend. Like, okay. I feel like there's probably a lot of overlap in people who watch Outlander and people who watch The Last Kingdom.
Yeah, there has to be.
Yeah, it's got a similar vibe. Outlander's a little bit, like, more intense, I think, but I didn't love everything about the last season, but I'm still like, I will keep watching that show as long as Jamie and Claire are around because I love them. They're like my, you know, my big ship, Jamie and Claire forever. And I'm just like, I'm ready to get back to it, even if I miss the, you know, Scotland and the kilts and the Highlands and all that. But I'm still stoked, even if they're in dumb old America.
Okay, see, and I feel like that's what's, like, turned me off of the show.
That's fair.
So, I stopped watching, like, around season 3 just because it's, like, I don't care to see them in, like, the Carolinas. Like,
yeah,
that's where I am.
I
see that.
I know, and it's, like, I kind of got the vibe from the last season that they're not phasing Jamie and Claire out, but they're making more room for their daughter. Oh, my God, I'm just blanking on her name.
So, well,
I know her real
Brianna
name
is her name.
Brianna. I knew her. The actress' name was Sophie Scout.
Her real name's Sophie.
Right. Brianna. Brianna and her boyfriend. And
Roger.
Roger, who is just.
I hate Roger.
I do
Maybe
too.
That's why I'm like turned off of it.
Yeah. And
because I can sense that
they're becoming more of a thing. And I just don't care about them like I do Jamie and Claire. I feel like I'm talking myself out of this being my geek out the more that I keep talking.
Sorry.
But I'm still. Listen, I'm still going to watch it. I'm still excited. But they need to just accept that we're there for Jamie and Claire. So, but yeah, it looks good.
Well, I mean, anything with Sam and Kat, I'm just happy to see more of them.
Good.
They have such good chemistry.
Amazing chemistry.
I mean, such good actors, like, in their own right. So I get it. I get why you continue on. I just wish they would kind of phase out Roger a little bit. I love Brianna. Like, she can stay.
But, like, Roger sucks. And if you didn't watch season four, Roger was just the worst. So,
well, see, I've read the books, or some of them, not all of them. So just like from that, I did not like him. And so
that's fair.
Yeah. I can only imagine like how little I will appreciate him like in physical form on my TV.
Yeah, that's fair. So anyway, no I'm still excited, but you know, we'll see.
We've dimmed some of your geek out in our geek out section. That's not what this is for.
Listen, it's fine. What's yours?
Okay, we will say, though, the first two seasons of Outlander.
So good.
Even if you're not enjoying, like, the rest of the show, just go back and watch those because those were fucking brilliant.
Oh, they're so good.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So I can't believe that I'm having to do this, Alyssa, and carry this torch this week, but I'll do it because I am also a Dev Patel stan.
Yes.
The David Copperfield trailer.
So good.
Came out.
I'm so excited.
God. You know what? Okay. So obviously we're here for Dev Patel wearing these like kind of 19th century British waistcoats and top hats and just
his hair
fly.
Looks so good. His hair looks so good. But also Dickens. And I'm like,
I'm
such a Dickens fan. I've loved Dickens since I was a kid.
Yes.
So David Copperfield's not my favorite one, but it's still really good. And
it's fine.
And so I'm ready. So, and it's by the guy who did Veep, right?
I think so.
Yeah. The director.
I think it is. And Tilda Swinton is in this.
Tilda Swinton is in it.
I blanked on that. And her character looks hilarious.
Yeah.
I mean, it's... And
Gwendolyn Christie is in it.
Hugh Laurie
is in it. Like, the cast is so good.
Amazing. And, like, that trailer... So, okay, I'm coming to this, obviously, for Dev Patel. But then that trailer, it's just like, sure, Dev Patel is in this, and I'm sure he's going to have a main role.
But he's kind of
the
straight
best,
man.
The funniest moments, are Hugh and Tilda just, like, riffing off each other as this married couple.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm so stoked about it. It's weird to say we're getting stoked about, like, a Charles Dickens movie in, like, 2019, but
listen,
I like it.
It's fine. I love it. I'm here for it. I think it's going to be a really good time. It got really good reviews out of Toronto, and so I'm stoked. I feel like it's been a really long time since I've seen, like, a straight-up classic period piece in a film, like, in forever. I'm trying to remember the last one.
Yeah, I've been having to, like, I think Emma is on like Hulu, which is
so
the one with
good.
Gwyneth Paltrow and Jeremy.
Jeremy Northam.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know. Like, everybody's always like, ugh, Gwyneth's the worst. But I'm kind of like, but
she's actually
Emma.
Really good in that.
She's
really
so
good
in that movie. And I feel like that's a really underrated Jane Austen movie.
And Toni Collette is in that. Like,
so good.
I've been just rewatching that. And then go watch David Copperfield when it comes out in theaters for Dev Patel.
Listen, a little culture never hurt anybody. It's fine.
God, in fact, I would say it might save some people.
All right, guys. If you want to hear more of our bullshit, check us out on Twitter or over at Sci-Fi Wire Fangirls. We've got links to everything below this episode.
And until next time, destiny is all, bitches.